Thanks for listening to the Adam Carolla Show on Podcast One.
Well, we do some home improvement with the great Eric Stromer, and we do some news, and that's all coming in the first half. First, J.B. Weld, proud sponsor of the Adam Carolla Show, epoxy adhesive brand used by both pros and DIYers, trusted for over 50 years, and it's available at jbweld.com, retailers everywhere, including Home Depot and Lowe's and AutoZone. It's J.B. Weld.
From Carolla One Studios in Glendale, California, this is the Adam Carolla Show. Adam's guest today, the president of the Copenhagen Consensus Center, Bjorn Lomberg. With Gina Grad on news, Paul Bryan on sound effects, Eric Stromer drops by, and Dave Damashek is here for good sports. And now, due to racism concerns, he'll no longer be masturbating. He will be primary baiting. Adam Carolla.
Yeah, get it on. Got to get it on. No choice but to get on mandate. Get it on. Thanks for tuning in, and thanks for telling a friend. We love that about you. Good day, Gina Grad.
Good day to you.
Handball, Brian.
I spent years on my hands and knees.
That's Stromer. We'll join him, and he'll join us in a second, do a little home improvement talk. Some interesting stuff to share with y'all. Little Love Boat ditty. Max Zapata, sorry, something I should have said off the air, I just remembered. The story of the indigenous people, the American Indians, and their ability to work on skyscrapers.
Oh, yeah, I remember this.
That
yeah,
story,
you've
it's a
that.
Very interesting story, and which tribe that was and how it worked. Somehow they did not have whatever gripping fear the paleface has when you step out onto a high beam. Yeah,
I remember this, and I remember we were splitting hairs because we couldn't really figure out. And I know it's almost two versions of the same thing, but do they not possess the fear in their blood, or are they so manly and macho that they do? They have the natural fear of heights, but they just overcome it and they just do it anyway.
That's a very spot question. I found out the answer. They'd researched it. They found out they were drunk.
And I can't imagine that's the finding.
It was in JAMA, or I can't remember which. It was pretty New England medicine. It was controversial, to say the least. Well, it wasn't my study. I didn't commission
it. Counterintuitive.
I just remember reading it.
No, Gene, that makes perfect sense.
Okay.
So the reason I'm thinking of that, and I'll circle back to that, but Max Zapata, I'll find out the tribe or the story. But it's an interesting story about that group. It's sort of like code talkers, wind talkers. There was
wind
a movie
talkers, yeah.
that they would do for World War II where they would break the code, or the Germans didn't, or the Japanese didn't understand their language. So it was a contribution. It was interesting. One of the things that I noticed when I went to Amazon and I was looking at the top 100 books, and I realized that the top 100 books, I didn't go all the way through it, but I just sort of looked at the top six. That's the kind of the ones that pop up on the page as the top mm-hmm. six. And I thought, this is a perfect time yep. we're living in. Because
that's good.
Now,
oh my God!
I've said to everyone, they go, Adam, what's the future? What's the future? I go, safe spaces and octagons. Those are that's where we're going. Half the country's going to a safe space. The other's going to the octagon. Out of the top six, and that's just what comes up on the page. It's, you know, Donald Trump. You know, we hardly knew you. The one written by his niece.
Too much and never enough.
There's white fragility, and there's, well, I can't read it from here, but go, if you can read it, do it.
Yeah.
Number one is
too much and never enough, how my family created the most dangerous man, the Donald Trump book by Mary L. Trump. Out of these six, I own two of them, by the way. The next one, my first learn to write workbook.
ABC 123.
Yep. ABC 123. I mean, a book for 4 year olds.
Yep, exactly. Right? School Zone, big preschool workbook, ages 4 and up.
Right. And these are big pictures of caterpillars and
flowers.
And these are kids. These are young kids' books. So that's 1, 2, and 3. Yep. 4.
White Fragility, Why It's So Hard for White People to Talk About Racism.
5.
How to Be Anti-Racist. 6. Paint by Sticker for Kids.
With a unicorn.
Cats and Magic.
A pink unicorn.
Remember, I have both those preschool books.
Now, remember,
Christy literally just got one of these workbooks for Tessa, literally, in the last 24 hours.
Both of those, two and three.
Obviously, when I published my first book 10 years ago, it was some autobiographies and spy thrillers. You know, that was the whole whole thing. Maybe the one cookbook would pop up there on occasion. We are now just kids' books and White Fragility, Trump, whatever. Mm-hmm. I mean, there is no middle anymore. It's
kids' workbooks and the world is shit.
Right.
It's an e-commerce safe space.
Yeah, it's crazy, right? When you see it, it's literally 3 and 3 in the top 6 of Amazon.
That's a funny visual.
Pretty much the top 6 in the world, right? So then I started thinking, I've been watching The Love Boat just to see if I can reclaim some of my dignity. And Drew and I now hooked on The Love Boat. And I had this thing about the 70s and even the 80s where there was a whole bunch of people that couldn't sing who did sing. It was, again, it was like that Merv Griffin, Dinah Shore. They'd do all these daytime TV shows and they'd sing a song, George Burns.
It was compulsory. We talked about this. If you were a star, you had to sing.
Right. Ginger Rogers. Ginger Rogers. Now, the thing about The Love Boat is it was essentially a Viking funeral for celebrities from the 40s and 50s. Like all these big name, huge name.
Up to sea.
Yes, literally. Like they should just fired an arrow filled with kerosene rags and caught on fire because major names, heavy hitters from Broadway, from the 50s, leading men, leading women, they would just end up on The Love Boat. And it's some of their last credits before they died was on The Love Boat. There's Ginger Rogers was born in 1911, died in 1995, 83 years of age, married and divorced 5 times, best actress in 1940, raised in Kansas City. I remember seeing that, not quite the same as Gina, but close enough. It was Fred Astaire and Ginger Rogers, right? Yeah. I mean, they're the toast of the town.
Famous quote that whatever Fred Astaire did, Ginger Rogers did backwards and in heels.
Right. And they also had, Douglas Fairbanks Jr. was on this episode. I mean, they would have these big names from the golden era of Hollywood, and then it would just end up in bad tuxedos and bad hair and bad whatever. Anyway, 1979, and Ginger Rogers is going to sing a number. The captain has convinced, because that was always the storyline would be, oh, you're the biggest star in the world. They weren't Ginger Rogers. They were a fictitious right. Ginger Rogers. But would you honor us with a number? And it'd be like, okay.
Jasmine Richards.
Yes. And so I'm just going to play this for you. It's visual. But it's also audible, and you got to hear it, and you got to watch the backup singers, and you got to remember where she comes from, because she was a mega star in the 40s, probably late 30s, early 40s, and here's where she ends up on The Love Boat, singing a Captain and Tennille song. And when I say singing, I use that term loosely. All right, here we go.
She's not known for that.
Oh, she's still not after this.
This is not nice.
I don't hate this.
This is not dignified.
I love this. Gotta be strong, just stop. Cause I really love you. Stop. I'll be a thinking of you. Look in my heart and let love keep us together.
set you free now.
You guys got to go to YouTube and watch this.
Run, don't walk.
Here with your heart and you won't hear a sound. Just stop. Because I really love you. Stop.
The visual's captivating.
Yeah.
The dudes in the background are like Momenschamps.
Yeah, she's barely moving and the guys behind her put in some work.
Ooh, hi, Kate.
Young and beautiful, but someday your looks will be gone. When the others turn you off, who'll be turning you on? I will, I will, I will, I will.
All right. The most acting anyone ever does is looking entertained in the audience when the washed up singer dancer has to butcher a Captain and Tennille song. So
that
sad.
Great.
It's that was rough. Not a dignified coda to her career.
I know, but that's why you have to watch Love Boat, because all these recognizable names, because the last thing is, you know, it's a theme we've touched on a few times. No one wants to be called old or out of it. And you were, I mean, when was Ginger Rogers at the height of her powers? You know, 39?
Yeah, 40. Yeah. That's when she won Best Actress. So that's usually.
But for dancing, I mean, her and Fred Astaire, I mean, 1940. All right. This is 39 years later, right?
Oh, boy.
And now it's time to. And I'm sure their agents are going, everyone's doing it, man. It's a top five show, it's the number one show on ABC. Show up and do it. Yeah, they had their 10 films from 33 to 39. Right.
Oh, she worked.
Oh, man. That's right. Probably fucking died penniless. Either way, yes.
When you mentioned that era of Hollywood where if you were a star, you had to sing. At some point, you just had to sing, whether you could or not. It reminds me of one that we're all familiar with, one we've all heard and seen before. You remember the Frosty the Snowman special from 1969?
Do I ever?
The iconic TV, you know, movie that comes
out. Stop, start.
Burl Ives.
That is Rudolph. Frosty is narrated by Jimmy Durante, you know, Jimmy Durante. And he sings, unbeknownst to anyone, why he sings. Do we have a clip of that? I told Chris about it. Hopefully he can find it. Frosty the Snowman.
Right.
Was jolly, happy soul, with a conch-top pipe and a button nose and two eyes made out of coal.
Jimmy Durante, great, iconic, you know, mobster and whatever. This is not his forte.
No, but you had to sing, and sadly, you had to dance a little bit, too, even if you didn't dance and you didn't sing. You just had to. It was a holdover from vaudeville, right? It was just like, come on, you got to do a little soft shoe. That's what you do.
Hour.
Like, just go out there and do a little bit of dancing. All right, could you imagine if, like, I don't know, they did that in Oz or Breaking Bad or something like that, where it's just a little bit of dancing. There's a little bit of singing. All right. We got Stromer, who's joining us, the great Eric Stromer, going to talk a little home improvement with him. I know he's got a few. I think we got a few questions in Dawson as well. Stromer, what's going on?
You know, I was just riveted by that dance number, and I can't help but imagine you, me, Bald Brian, and of course, Max Apata backup dancing to Gina.
Oh, I love that.
With those onesies. Come on.
Yeah.
Love will keep us together.
And then we're doing the
Didn't your dad own a dance academy?
My dad was a ballroom dance teacher for kids, seventh and eighth grade kids. So I grew up doing foxtrot box step business and really do know how to do it. But, you know, I don't use it much except weddings, but at weddings, I'm flawless.
You know, Adam talks about how there really are no more Renaissance men. I hereby disagree.
I would have to agree with you, Gina Grad.
This is incredible.
Stromer, yeah, no, Stromer comes
I
from
can
a...
Do a lot, I, can, yes. I can do a lot of stuff fairly good.
Stromer has a very interesting pedigree. A lot of song, a lot of dance. I think, we know what his dad did. I think his mom was an artist.
Yeah, she was an artist, and she helped my dad with the business. And that, you know, that line that you said, Gina Grad, you know, doing the dancing backwards in heels, that Fred Astaire thing, that was kind of her life. She did everything with my dad, and they were partners and great at it.
Jesus, I hate my parents so much.
Well, I am beginning to hate them, too.
Good.
I can't stand the old man with the trumpet. Fuck that guy.
I know. So Stromer's a Renaissance guy. Then Stromer,
I believe it's pronounced Renaissance.
Renaissance.
Wow. He speaks French.
he does. And then he got into building, and then he got into TV. He was really, honestly, he was just too good looking to build. He could not. I don't know, like a waitress working in Hollywood or Beverly Hills that was just too good looking. Like eventually some producer was going to wander into that place and pluck her up. So
I like how you refer to you're using the, you know, the right pronoun of her describing me.
now Stromer has been all through the TV mill. People may
chewed
not
shoot up and spit out.
We did the Top Gear USA pilot together many years ago. You know, it's actually a funny story that we haven't told in a while, but when we're in Prump and we're eating steak and you were dying next to me.
Yeah, so I want everyone to know that Adam Carolla saved my life.
Do tell.
And I was, you know, we were all sitting in front of the executives having that big dinner, you know, the night before production's about to begin. Everybody's feeling each other out. Of course, Adam and I order big pieces of steak. We're, you know, Adam's dining, listening, looking around like he does with his perception, his laser perception. And all of a sudden, I realize I've got a big hunk of steak stuck in my throat and I'm about to die. And I don't know if I should do the, you know, the international point to my throat sign or not, but I'm embarrassed to do that. But I can't breathe and I can't get the thing out. And Adam just kind of looks at me and he just keeps eating and just looks at me and waits until maybe I die or not. And I think he would have helped me.
I knew no one at the table knew Stromer was choking, but him and me.
Exactly. Our eyes locked.
The producer's like at the end of the table with a glass of wine telling a story about, you know, working on Air Bud 3 or something, and everyone's kind of looking at him, and I'm looking at Stromer. Stromer's choking, but I don't want to get up and scream, "Is there a doctor in the house?" or perform the Heimlich, because I it may pass. Like, he may clear it,
or
he may clear
or he
it.
May die, and I got somebody I can call to replace him tomorrow.
If you just didn't give him one of those attaboy back slaps and have it come flying out.
We were sitting at a table with a bunch of highfalutin producers and stuff, and I knew it would be embarrassing if I stood up and yelled "Stromer's choking" and everyone looked at him. So I just kept looking at him while the producer at the other end was holding court, and I could see he wasn't breathing. I could see it wasn't going down right, but I was going to give it another like 5 Mississippi before I made my move. And he was just sitting there turning different colors and not talking. And at a certain point, I saw him clear it. Like, I saw him.
Yes.
I saw him clear it. And I thought, well, good. Thank God I didn't get up and make an ass out of Stromer.
Yeah. And we never spoke of it again until always on air when we talk about me.
I was looking out for you by not looking out for you. Is what
I think
saying.
That's. I think you don't want to draw attention. Thank you for that. I appreciate it. And if I had died, I know you would have told my wife nice things.
Yes. All I remember is, I don't know if anyone's been to Pahrump. If you've ever been to Pahrump, Pahrump, like, you know when you're in Vegas and you see those weird off the strip hotels, and it's like $2 ante and blackjack or one nickel slots, or when you drive past that place, you go, God, that's sad. Like, what's going on in there? That's so sad. Prump is 3 or 4 notches down from that.
And the name really says it all.
Right.
It really does. It's Pahrump. And doesn't it kind of, I think there's a winery there that has maybe the world's worst wine, but I'm not sure. Wasn't that it, Adam? We were at a winery.
We ate at a vineyard.
A vineyard. That's it.
Which
Stromer? Give me the sad Pahrump again.
Pahrump. Yeah, exactly.
All you know is, all you need to know is that's where Heidi Fleiss raises macaws. Mm. She's there with 1,000 parrots. So, all right, this segment is brought to you by JB Weld. I should tell you guys, and I should also tell you guys, they got me a killer JB Weld jacket. Did you get your jacket, Stromer? This thing is no joke.
It isn't. It's got the great insulation. My daughter commandeered it, and she won't let me have it back.
Eddie Bauer, by the way, they ain't skimping, so I wear mine whenever it rains. We got some questions up there, Max Zapata.
Yeah, so Martin in South St. Louis says, "Hey, Ace and Stromer, my house was built in 1902 with an old style of gutter. We'll put up pictures. It looks like the previous owners tried to patch some holes with some kind of flex seal, and it really didn't hold. Now the water has made it through and is rotting the fascia. Any idea how I'd go about fixing this, or what to even tell a gutter guy?"
Gutter guy. You know, the gutter guy will show up in his gutter guy truck, and he'll bend that stuff up and mix that stuff up and shape that stuff right there. Oh, you're talking about gutter, not... Wait a minute. You said gutter and fascia, right?
Yeah, like thinking fascia on a house. What is that? That's a curb.
That picture shouldn't have been first, but that is from the roof. So you're looking at the gutter. It's confusing because there's a sidewalk right there, and it's not dimensional. This other picture will go up, and it'll make more sense.
Okay. Gotcha.
All right.
Oh, sure. The old rotting fascia.
The old rotting fascia.
And it's right at a seam, coincidentally. I wonder why it's leaking.
Yeah. So here's the thing about gutters. You can buy prefab stuff in lengths and put it up yourself, sort of Home Depot variety, or you can have the gutter guy show up, and he's got the nibblers and the brakes and the bends, and he'll actually just make it on site. Stromer, you must have worked with these guys before, right?
Yeah, they. And in this case, because it's so much farting around with trying to repair a bad gutter, I would recommend removing it, have the gutter guy come bend a new one in for you. And then as far as the fascia goes, you can cut that piece. There's usually framing at the end of the rafters that you attach the fascia to. I would just cut it at one of the rafters, piece in a new piece, bond to it, and put some nice coat of paint on, match it up, you'll be fine. And I also think that probably was backflowing at some point. It always looks to me when fascia is rotting out that you're not cleaning your gutters out thoroughly, so they back up when it rains or there's a snow melt in the spring, and water just keeps sitting on the face of that fascia and starts to rot out on you.
I got
to
tell you,
man. Clean the gutters, everybody. Clean them.
Yeah, but get the neighbor kid to do it, man. Everybody I know who's got a dad has eaten shit on a ladder up trying to get the gutters. And, I mean, a lot of guys die that way.
Yeah, the widowmaker, they call it.
They do. I remember talking Joel McHale's dad, like, was doing that. He shattered his pelvis and stuff. Like, it all kind of seems like a joke until you fall off 8-9 feet and land halfway onto a potted plant.
Right. Dad broke his ribs falling off a ladder. Just slipped right in front of him.
Artie Lang's dad was fell off a roof and was paraplegic, I think.
Yeah, he was installing an antenna and broke his back.
Installing a pair. So let the young kids do that. Or what is the American Indian tribe that has no difficulty
walking? The Mohawks.
Were the Mohawks?
Right?
I guess. Yeah, that makes sense.
Yeah, the Mohawk. Bring the Mohawks in to at least hold the ladder.
That's right.
Getting the repair done.
That's right. All right, what else you got there, Dawson?
JJ asks, "My central air unit is on the opposite side of the condo, so pressure for the AC is AC or heat is very weak. The filter is clean. What's an easy solution?"
Pressure weak. Filter clean. It's traveling too far.
So the ducting is it's losing compression in the duct and not getting to the room. So, you know, sometimes, you know, a lot of times they don't do solid ducting. They do the corrugated stuff because it's an addition.
You mean like the flex stuff?
The flex duct. There's even a less you know, a worse version of it where it is flex, but it's I can't remember the name of it, but it doesn't work well and it doesn't transition air from point A to point B. So either A, you get a secondary air conditioner, run a new duct somewhere else, get a window unit, get a swamp cooler, or you get new ducting to get that air transferring through the smooth line duct much more efficient.
Well, I will tell you that if anyone ever goes up in an attic and crawls around and looks at your ducting, the flexible stuff or the non-flexible stuff, that duct tape is what it was meant for. Over the course of the years, when it heat cycles, like it gets 125 degrees up in your attic, and then it cools and gets really cool during the winter time, and then it gets super hot, that tape gets like crispy. Like it literally loses all its flexibility. And you go up there and you fire up the air conditioner and you go up in the attic or under the house or wherever it is, and you can feel that cold air like just pouring out through the seams. If you have a rigid, like sheet metal ducting, they make a kind of a silver salve. It's like a rubberized silver kind of paint that you'd put over all the seams. But of course, that stuff dries out. You have to understand, cycling is what screws everything up. Like, remember when everyone's dashboard would get all cracked in their car? Because it gets so hot, and then you'd get in and you turn the air conditioning on and then it would cool off, and then you'd leave it and it would get hot again, and then you'd park it in the garage and it would cool off again. Cycling from hot to cold screws everything up. Like it screws up the integrity of everything. So like, get your duct tape, also get your metal flex tape. They have metal tape. You can take the metal tape and wrap the metal tape around the seams, whether it's rigid or not. But do that. And then also, you know, we talked about like the window mount air conditioning unit and blah, blah, blah. But there's a lot of nice, compact, low profile, like Mitsubishi wall mount units that are heaters and air conditioners. And if you're like a part of your house that's always cold or always hot, and it's like on the other side of the whatever, and the air conditioning's not doing a good enough job, get a little one of these. Mitsubishi makes them. There's other companies that make them where they're just little wall mount units, and they work with a remote control and they work well.
Yeah, and they also have their own compressor. And I just actually did that for a client, and you know, the run was too long. And if you install one of those and then just cut that duct or block the vent, and then pressure all of a sudden shows up in the rest of the house. And then to your point, you know, the attic is a really aggressive environment. So a lot of times, too, people forget to insulate in there. And if you are going up to examine the ducts, and if there are leaks, make sure you take a moment to see if the attic itself is insulated at least. Because, you know, if you cool the attic down with a whole house fan maybe, or at least some vents, that air conditioner has more of a chance to have the poor ducting work a little better. You ideally want insulated ducting, but if you don't have it, at least get the attic itself a little cooler by flushing that air out.
That whole house attic, that whole house vent fan is a good call. I mean, Brian, you could probably use one. You just put it right in the middle of the house during the summer, crack a window, fire that thing up, and all the air. It's good when you're cooking or something too, and the whole house smells like sardines or something. It just sucks it all out. Spits it up into the attic. All right, those questions were brought to you by our friends over at JB Weld, everyone. DIY projects to get through. Want to save some money, want to avoid paying the repairman? Dawson just fixed his computer with JB Weld. I think his screen
fell off. Started popping out on my Surface Pro, so I got a couple of clamps and a little bit of JB Weld and a wet towel. Sealed it right up. Working perfect.
Owner doing it for himself. Big or small projects, home or garage, ordinary household glue. Well, it's just ordinary. It ain't strong. You need JB Weld. Proud to have him as a sponsor. I know the owner. He's a good guy, and I know the company, and they're good. I hung out with them over at SEMA. They've been around for over 50 years, and it's all made in the USA. So toolbox, kitchen drawer, craft room, whatever. Wood, plastic, metal, and more. JB Weld it. Available at jbweld.com, Home Depot, Lowe's, AutoZone, Advance Auto Parts, O'Reilly, Walmart, Michaels, and more. Stromer. You can find him when we do Ace on the House, new episodes every week on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and Podcast One. And shoot him a tweet at Eric Stromer as well. Am I missing anything, Stromer?
No, that's it. You got me. Come find me.
Come find Stromer. And how's your son? People may not know that Stromer's son is a blue chip basketball prospect.
Yeah, he's a 6'6 point guard freshman, got a bunch of offers already to play D1 basketball. The downside, this is what's going on out there, which is really terrible. You know, they want to kind of take back control of the city and not have the stuff spread around. But a lot of kids are breaking rules and going, sneaking into gyms and scrimmaging without masks on. And it just seems like the Petri dish from hell, right? So it's tough now for an athlete who's trying to continue training when there's no access to any place to train unless you sneak in and break the rules. So that's where we are right now. It's kind of tough.
But he's going to go to a D1 school.
Stromer got one, at least one paid for so far. I had to pay retail on the first one, but you know, second one, no dice, ain't gonna happen. Third one, if she pays, I'm gonna shoot myself or light myself on fire. Can't do it.
I wonder if my son can get a scholarship for watching your son playing basketball and tweeting about it. Is there something for that?
Yes, there is. That's called a manager at CAA representing athletes, and they'll end up making millions of dollars a year. So, yes, there is something.
Thank you, Stromer. We'll take a quick break. We'll come right back with the news right after this.
Give me the news with Grad. News with Gino Grad. Breaking viral. All those crazy Trump tweets. Give me news with Gina Grad. Trouble in the Middle East. Celebrity drunk meltdowns. Deep news with Gina Grad.
The news with Gina Grad.
Well, since we were just talking about basketball a few moments ago, let's start with some basketball news. It seems like some NBA players are taking coronavirus precautions very seriously in Orlando, at least some more than others, or they're taking snitching seriously. According to TheAthletic.com, there have been multiple calls to a hotline the NBA set up to anonymously report social distancing violations in the little NBA bubble at Walt Disney World that they set up, where 22 teams are currently preparing to restart the season on July 31st. While inside this little campus, players are not allowed to visit each other's hotel rooms, but they can socialize under, you know, strict restrictions. And according to The Ringer, after teams arrived last week, players were immediately quarantined in their hotel rooms for 36 to 48 hours until they test negative for coronavirus. But they are snitching on each other. Sometimes it's a prank, sometimes it's not. And a lot of people are choosing not to even go at all now.
Prank.
But don't they have to practice together? Like, aren't they out on the floor together?
They're going to have to be, but they have to be COVID negative for 36 to 48 hours. So it's very strict.
Quietly, basketball, much more a contact sport than football. I don't mean tackling, of course. I just mean posting up and defending and touching. It's like linemen, of course, out of you know, they're all over each other. But how often is a receiver all over a DB? Like, I mean, three, four, five times a game? Like, well, basketball, it's a sweaty
yes,
pit.
Yes, and you're
and
back
it's also
in
indoors.
And it's a constant positioning and backing in. I mean, it's like it's a prolonged contact. Number one, interesting. The community doesn't do a lot of snitching when it comes to the kid getting shot in the drive-by, but when it comes to the Disney Corona thing, they're running for the phone. I find that curious. Culturally
curious. How long until someone pulls that on a playoff opponent? You know what I mean? Like, hey, I heard LeBron. You didn't hear from me, but LeBron's got the Corona. Anyway, I know it's Game 7 tomorrow.
Yeah. But you think of these young guys and, you know, like, you know, they're what, millionaires, and they're what, in their early 20s, and they're not trying to sit around in their rooms all day. So, you know, I would imagine they're trying to sneak out for a little while.
Look, the whole thing about sports is there's constantly been curfews and sneaking out. Famously, you're set the curfew and then everyone goes out. I mean, like when they would have the Super Bowl in New Orleans, everyone would sneak out on Saturday night and get drunk. You know, I mean, there's famous stories. I think one of the most famous stories is oh, I can't recall his name, but the wide receiver for the Colts. No, well, there's that too, but the Colts wide receiver, and Max Zapata can maybe find this, Super Bowl 3 or whatever it is. The Colts won, but 4-2 or maybe it was Super Bowl 1. Yeah, Don Maynard. Don Maynard was like, you know, this is back when guys would smoke in the locker room, and, you know, he wasn't slated to start, I don't think. And he went out and just stayed out all night drinking. And
I think it was a Packers receiver.
I know the story. Maybe, like, it was the Packers.
He wasn't supposed to play, and he ended up having a great game or something. He was like,
right.
Hungover.
Yeah, it was either the Packers maybe playing the Colts or something. He wasn't slated to start. We were in Los Angeles. You know, the guy's from Wisconsin, you know what I mean? He's in Green Bay. Now he's in Los Angeles, and he's just out drinking and smoking all night. Shows up, you know, green and hungover the next day, and turns out the guy who was starting in front of him pulled a hammy, and he's in. And then has a spectacular game. So, kids, if you're listening, understand
that takeaway.
Copious amounts of alcohol and nicotine the night before the big game is what makes you, what gets you that Lombardi.
Yeah, so it makes you great.
Yeah, the
breakfast of champions.
What I was trying to connect was, and you guys tell me, I didn't like. We've been trying to figure out since we're on sports. Was trying to figure out a way to keep the Washington Redskins logo and do something that wasn't offensive, but something that was, you know, a tip of the cap to the heritage. And then the problem is you get into Warriors and stuff like that, and it's like, well, you're still kind of talking about something kind of aggressive. There's another Warriors. Maybe that's a little whatever. But I started thinking about the Mohawk Indians walking up on the I-beams, and I thought we could call them the Washington Beam Men or Beam Walkers or some version of something to do with the building, the I-beams, I don't know, the girders.
Okay. Something. That's a good starting. That's a good jumping off point. No pun intended.
Yes, like, here's what you're known for. Here's what your heritage is. Here's something good. We keep it there. Beam Walkers, Beam. I don't know. It's sort of like Beeman, like Bob Beeman. Let's see.
Death Defiers.
Well, they're called Mohawk Iron Workers.
Iron Men.
Skywalkers.
Iron Men.
I think that's taken. I think Skywalker's taken.
All right, but how about Washington Iron Men? And we have the thing, and then we tell the story. Oh, they were the only ones brave enough to place all the iron beams up, all the big I-beams up there. They built this nation.
Yeah, Iron Man's kind of cool.
Let's not skip past Skywalkers. That's pretty fucking sweet. By the way, no one who understands that reference gives a shit about football.
I was going to say, good luck getting that past Disney.
Yeah,
Iron Man, not bad.
Iron Man, too.
Iron Man.
I like Iron Man.
Yeah.
There was a player for the Knicks. I can't believe I remember this. So obscure. In the 90s, named Kenny Walker. He won the dunk contest in 1991. Yeah. Kenny Skywalker. That's what his nickname was.
Mm-hmm. That makes sense. So I don't know if you've seen the pictures, we have them, of Donald Trump and daughter posting with beans, but they are making their way around the internet. Off the news that his niece have sold 950,000 copies of the Donald Trump book on the first day.
I heard it was 975 last time.
Oh, then you might be right. I have it at 950. They both posed for a picture with a can of beans from the Goya guy, the CEO of Goya that heaped so much praise on him. And people are wondering if this could be an ethics violation for promoting Goya foods on social media, and some say it is. So basically, here's what I got it from. According to lawandcrime.com, there's a federal law that says an employee shall not use his public office for his own private gain for the endorsement of any product, service, or enterprise, or the private gain of friends, relatives, or persons with whom the employee is affiliated in a non-governmental capacity. The promotion came on the heels of, you know, in bestowing this praise, and that's when we got into the boycott versus boycott. But they're on board with the Goya people.
I think you'd, well, obviously they're just whatever, pushing against whatever. First things first, those cans of beans could have been on that mahogany table left over from the last administration. We don't
100%
know.
True.
What'd you do? Did you check the Oval Office for beans?
I did not.
Okay.
Did not
if you didn't,
yep,
then we'll never know.
They'll do sweep for weapons or, you know, or some sort of, you know, something harmful. Beans, let it go.
Could have been there. Could have been there from the previous administration. Yeah. So we don't know.
Bad news, girl.
Well, speaking of the previous. No, but you have to vet it. Huh? You know, you have to do your due diligence. No, you didn't do your due diligence.
Put the picture back up, Chris, because speaking of the previous administration, all I can think of when I look at this comical milieu is Adam Carolla on the show saying it was unpresidential when Obama filled out a fucking bracket.
Yes.
What about his grocery list on the desk at the, what's it called? The desk, the,
I don't know.
It's an official desk.
Resolute desk.
The Resolute desk.
Thank you.
This is official. but to be fair to me, Obama was trying to be the president. You know what I mean?
Yes, that's a sharp distinction.
I don't think he's trying to be the president.
This is to own the libs.
I was listening to an interview. They interviewed who was it? Erin Burnett. She interviewed the friend of the woman who wrote the book, the niece. She was there was a gag order for the niece. I guess it's been lifted.
Well, remember, it was a gag order for the niece, but not the publishing company.
Right. Remember so her friend, who she wrote the book at her home, so they say, was interviewed by Erin Burnett, I think it was, and she wanted to know who took the test, who took the SATs for Trump, and I was watching it, and I thought, it's 2:30, it's kind of funny, but you got to have a segment producer and they got to do some vetting because listen to this interview with this woman who's her friend because they're trying to figure out who is the guy who may or may not have the first bombshell was Trump didn't take the SATs. He had somebody take the SATs for him. And we had to try to figure out who that person is and if we could interview them and if we could talk to them. Here is that interview. It's out front, I think, with Erin Burnett. Sorry.
Tonight, President Trump's brother making a last-ditch effort to stop the niece's tell-all book from publishing. His lawyers asking the judge to continue a gag order against Mary Trump, saying that her personal stories aren't protected political free speech. This comes as everyone is asking the big question, who is Joe Shapiro, the friend who Mary Trump says took the SAT test for Trump? Out front now, Alex Frankston. She is Mary Trump's best friend. She is speaking out on Mary's behalf as Mary's under that gag order. So I want to start with this question because it's gotten a lot of people talking. The allegation in the book, in Mary's book, that Trump paid his friend, a man named Joe Shapiro, to take his SATs for him. So everyone's been talking about this Joe Shapiro, and they found this Joe Shapiro who went to the University of Pennsylvania with Trump, and his wife, the former professional tennis player Pam Shriver, says there's no way it was him. He, of course, has passed away. Can you clear this up for us? Is that the Joe Shapiro that Mary is alleging did this, or is it someone else?
That's not the Joe Shapiro, and the timeline doesn't match up, and it wouldn't be logical. This Joe Shapiro and Mary's uncle would have been at Penn at the same time. That's not the one.
Right. So you're saying they hadn't even met at this point.
Joe Shapiro is a really common name on the East Coast.
Yes, it is, which I think is a fair point to make. It is. So the White House said the whole claim is absurd, completely false. Those are their words. And is there anything more you can tell us about this person? And I know because there just is so much focus on it, obviously, because, you know, she's saying this sets up the kind of person that the president was and is, you know, his dishonesty and his lies and that it started at this point. Is there anything more we're going to find out about the Joe Shapiro that she says did this and, you know, whether he's still alive?
I don't think that there's going to be more about it because really it's only part and parcel of.
All right, you can pause it. I'm saying you got to get a segment producer to hit this chick before you put her on the camera, which is I want to know which Joe Shapiro it is. And if it's not this one and we don't know who it is and who knows, then why are we interviewing this chick?
Yeah, it feels like a strange choice.
That's like a weird.
Her,
but what I'm saying is they do interviews, you know, you do pre-interviews all the time, and they go, look, we're going to call you, we're going to ask you about this guy, Joe Shapiro, we want to know what you know. And if the answer is like, yeah, that's a different guy, he's dead, and I don't, but do you know the real Joe Shapiro? Nah, I don't really know. Then you have to go, you have to move on to
dead ends.
Yeah,
thank you for your time.
Thank you for your time, or we'll go on to another subject.
And by the way, that Joe Shapiro conversation was about 5 to 6 minutes long. That was cut.
I told Max, but it's like, it's called out front. Go figure it out. You don't know who Joe Shapiro is. And I don't know who Joe Shapiro is anyway. But, you know, what's sad about me. When I hear about things like people having people take the SATs for them and everyone goes, oh, my word. I go, huh, yeah, I wish I'd thought of that. I wish I had some fucking
That's
money.
That's a smart guy.
I wish I could have paid somebody. Yes.
Resourceful.
He certainly better not be pardoning anyone going to jail or prison for the college admission scandal.
Oh, yeah. That's right.
That'd be bad optics.
I'm sure that sounds so on point, right? Trump got somebody to take the SATs for him.
It's like what you talk about when things snap into focus. It's like, Trump may be a smart guy. Like, he may have good business instincts or whatever. You can make that argument. He's clearly not, like, you know, verbal book and smart. Like, he's like, yeah, he's a book smart. Exactly. I'm like, how does fucking pass the SATs? Or not pass, so you know what I mean? I'm a warden.
It's like, look, I could waste 3 hours of my day and come up with a 11:30, or I could get this Shapiro guy to do it for $1,000 and get a 1480. Like, I'm a businessman. I got plenty of money. I don't have much time. Yeah. Let's do it. Yeah. And it was also during a time when you could fake shit. There's no more faking shit anymore. There's a bar code and a retinal scan and a saliva swab.
Down, yes.
There's no... There'd be footage of you walking into the place and not walking out of the place. You just can't fake shit anymore. All right. What else you got, Gina?
Elon Musk, Bill Gates, Barack Obama, Joe Biden, Kanye West, Jeff Bezos, and those are just a few of the notable figures that all had their Twitter accounts hacked on Wednesday. Someone posted messages imploring followers to send Bitcoin to their account. Posing as the public figures, they said they'd double whatever anyone deposited for the next 30 minutes. And I think specifically some were saying, you send me $1,000 in Bitcoin, I'll send you $2,000. The hackers also targeted Twitter accounts of major figures in the cryptocurrency world. The accounts have since been secured. I know that a lot of the real accounts were shut down just to put a stop to this, but there's no word on how the hackers got in. Reports say they made at least $100,000 in like a half hour, and we're looking at some of them now. It says, I'm giving back to the community. All Bitcoin sent to the address below will be sent back doubled. If you send 1,000, I'll send back 2,000, only for 30 minutes. That's on Joe Biden's. That's on Barack Obama's. And some people did it. I don't know how that works.
Well, it's good news for all of us who have Twitter accounts, because it's plausible deniability for the next time you get drunk and call someone a fat ass or something, and then you get into hot water for it, and then you go, hey, man, that could have been some Russian bot, man. I mean, I didn't even do that. Like, now what we need is lots of cases of people hacking into other people's accounts so we have plausible deniability for whatever drunken tweets we send out. Yes.
Wait, I have a great idea, and it's actually your idea, so I think you're going to like it. Mm-hmm. You know when you used to give that advice on Loveline about women faking orgasms and hold one back every 3 or 4? Mm-hmm. I think in this case, to get that plausible deniability, every 20th tweet you send has to be something insane.
Right.
So like, no, I was hacked. So it doesn't just come out of nowhere. Like, it's an ongoing thing. I'm working on it.
Yeah, yeah. I agree. Yeah.
I keep changing my password, but they keep figuring it out.
Yeah, it's a good call. Say something outrageous and scary and bizarre that you would never say, and then when you get drunk and say something you mean when you're drunk, then you won't be held accountable. But either way, this is good. It's interesting, the whole crypto kind of version of this, which is a way to literally make money digitally, where
untraceable.
I mean, there was famously from a million years ago. There was a joke where, like, soupy sales, like in the 50s or the 60s, like did a thing where he like said he was doing a kid show, and he's like, all right, kids, if you're all watching, I want you to go to your mommy and your daddy's wallet and purse and get a dollar out and send it to Uncle Soupy Sales. Like, there's a famous story where a bunch of money
and it happened.
Came in and it happened. This is kind of a version of that. I like Iron Man. The Washington Iron Man.
Yeah.
It's tough.
I should point out that I saw this on Twitter, and a number of our listeners let me know that this hack happened at the Twitter level. Like, they got into an administrator's password. They didn't like hack these individual accounts. They like got in, like, someone, I guess the story will come out eventually, but someone like got in at the administrator level and was able to access. That's why they accessed so many, you know, just from the top down, famous people accounts.
It's not great.
I want to tell you about CrossRope real quick. We're all looking for ways to stay fit out there while spending more time at home. CrossRope, it's a weighted jump rope system that makes home workouts fun, and you get a good workout. You do it in no time and no worries. You get a full body workout in under 30 minutes. Combines high intensity cardio with full body strength training. I am telling you, this thing is a great product. I use it. I've always told you I skip rope, and it's good because you work on rhythm, and you're also kind of working from the balls of your feet up to your shoulders and sort of beyond. And when you add some weight, you can really feel it in your arms, your lats, your back, your shoulders. It's easy to get started. They have different weights. You order the ropes, you download the app, enjoy the results. App gives you free anytime access and for a quick workout, fun, challenging. And it's easy to take on the road if you're going somewhere. You know, travel, all the gyms and the hotels are closed now, but you can take your cross rope with you. So you take that with you. It'll map your progress with the app. 60-day risk-free introduction trial, and it's a risk-free guarantee. Right, Dawson?
If you're ready for a new cardio and full-body home workout, visit crossrope.com/Adam. Get up to $40 off CrossRope sets, plus free shipping when you check out today at crossrope.com/Adam. That's ADAM. crossrope.com/Adam.
All right. What else you got, Gina Grad?
A group of protesters and New York City cops clashed on the Brooklyn Bridge on Wednesday, with at least three officers injured by a man who appeared to be swinging a large stick at the officers, according to the video footage, which I'll show you in a second. The violence occurred while police were arresting a protester on the opposite side of one of the fences of the bridge. And according to a department spokesman, Police Chief Terrence Monahan was one of the white-shirted officers seen in the video, and he suffered a hand injury. He's like the top guy. A second brawl broke out between protesters and police, not far from the first. A total of 37 people arrested. But the footage I'm showing you, you're going to see a bunch of guys standing over some cops and just hitting them with sticks as they're trying to arrest somebody.
El Kabong, man.
Yeah.
Yeah, I saw this. First off, it's kind of weird and rough because you watch the news and like this guy picked up a stick and I'm like, is it a guy? It looks like they have a bun. And also,
oh, that means nothing these days.
Well, that means nothing. But also, you used to just go, this guy picked up a stick, because women didn't involve themselves in these activities. And now women are in, like, they're on the front line.
Lock-a-bong.
You've come a long way, baby. You're swinging pool cues at cops. I mean, the women are in the fray now. And when I was kept looking at it, I was like, I think that's a woman, but I couldn't tell. But there's a very dangerous thing that's happening, which is if a cop or a couple of cops go into a community and are trying to arrest somebody, you're in kind of a vulnerable position when you're trying to arrest someone. Your back is sort of to the crowd, and sometimes you're struggling with that person. If the community, who formerly used to kind of stay out of the way, if the community is going to get involved, you're going to have a very difficult time arresting that person. If you're trying to arrest a person and 10 other people come up behind you and they're trying to assault you, this is scary. Two things are going to happen. Cops are going to just stop going in there and arresting anybody, which is going to cause more people, more gun deaths, and more chaos. But Also, it's going to get some people shot in that scrum. Yeah, this person was just whacking these cops over the head with, it was a stick, but it's weird because if it was like a broomstick, it shouldn't have caused that kind of damage. It must have been a piece of metal. It must have been like a piece of conduit or something. But either way, the idea is there's a bunch of cops doing their job and you run toward them with a weapon to like, the fear factor of cops needs to go up just a little bit. Yes, Brian.
Far be it for me to shit on your point, but Tessa hit me in the hand, this hand right here, with one of her little toy broomsticks, which is about yay long. Mm-hmm. It's, 3.5 feet. That fucking thing left a welt for a month and a half. It was not a welt, but like it was raised almost like a cyst. And it finally went away like last week. But I'm telling you, man, if she can do that kind of, if a 3-year-old can do that damage with a toy, an adult, why, like with an actual stick, is going to fuck you up.
Well, but Tessa has a lot more upper body than most 5-year-olds.
True. I'm a little more fragile.
But yeah, this, I don't know, what was it, a man or a woman? It's sad that I can't tell. But used to be able to tell by either the bun or the activity, and now they're both out the window.
Out the window.
Yeah. Either way, good luck, New York. All the cops are retiring early. Everyone's moving out. It's going to be a hellscape over there.
I'm seeing it was a man.
It was a man.
Well, there are news publications that saying holding his stick. So.
All right. Let's do one more, Gina Grad.
All right. Let's just get a little update on the Johnny Depp court case real quick. So more weird stuff coming out about this thing. The property manager, Kevin Murphy, testified in Depp's libel suit that Amber Heard told him in December 2015 that he had hit her in the face several times and pulled her hair. But he says there were no marks, no bruises, cuts, redness, swelling, nothing.
Smart. That's how you do it.
Is Heard's face. A bag of oranges. Nor was there any area on the head where her hair appeared to have been pulled. Murphy said he was shown a photo of her dated the day after this encounter with marks all over her face. Murphy said they were a hoax. Meanwhile, Depp, who's suing the Sun newspaper for calling him a wife beater, allegedly badmouthed Heard in text to her then assistant while they were getting divorced and said she was a 50-cent stripper, a gold digger, and had a flabby behind.
That stinks. She also put a picture of him up, passed out, eating ice cream, which made me...
Oh, he went Hasselhoff.
Made me kind of respect him. Like, this guy was eating ice cream. There's a picture of it. He's just passed out eating ice cream, and the ice cream just kind of, like, dripping down his knee and thigh. And I don't know. I couldn't tell if it was capsized or it's just melted, but...
That's tough stuff.
I just like the idea. First off, it's obviously coffee or peanut butter or some version of that. I'm trying to figure out what kind of container it's in. Did it fall over?
It's upside down.
Glass?
I don't know.
It looks like a sundae, a tall sundae dish.
Uh-huh.
And by the mix, and it's melted, as an expert, I'm going to say that it's chocolate syrup and vanilla ice cream.
Mm.
And it is now melted in his lap, and he ate the cherry, and he doesn't like nuts.
I hope they have a dog, because this is the best day ever. If your owner passes out and capsizes a sundae on their lap, that is good eating if you're the family pet. Also, I don't know why she needed to take a picture of it, but I guess she was mounting a case at this point.
And remember, she had the hidden video when he was drunk and pissed off in their kitchen and egging him on a little bit. And remember, they also claimed that she or one of her friends shat in their bed. Cool. So this is a volatile relationship from the get-go.
Chris, can you use the enhance button on that to see if that's Talenti ice cream? Because that comes in a sort of container like that. Just playing a hunch.
It's pixely, even with the enhance. But let me look at the container.
Are you sure you're enhancing it? I don't hear a noise.
Nobody's yelling enhance in my ear either.
Anyway, he says he was working hard. That's why he passed out with the ice cream. That passing out with an ice cream on your belly feels like very drunken activity to me. That feels...
You think?
I'm going to go with drunk on that one. Could have been.
It's
Smart. From work, but I'm going to go from drinking. All right, let me hit Geico right now. Geico is offering you an extra 15% off credit motorcycle, RV, auto policies. That's 15% on top of the money they're already saving you if you're going with Geico. But if you go with Geico, you get the Geico discount and you get the 15%. So it's never been a better time to switch over to Geico. Save an extra 15% when you switch by October 7th. Visit geico.com and learn more at geico.com.
Brian, yes. Good eye. It does look like it's Talenti, and I'm basing this strictly off the screw top. It has like a mason jar style screw top in both. So
because Talenti has a clear mm-hmm. container, gelato. And whatever's in there is going to leave, you know, it's going to look like whatever was in there.
Brian, you are missing your calling as an expert ice cream witness. Caracos could trot you in. You could be Frusen Glashen, please. You're insulting me.
Get out of my face with that Haagen-Dazs shit.
That's right. Yes, you could be the forensic ice cream expert, and at some point you could go, that's not ice cream. That's sherbet. And the entire courtroom would be like,
The prosecution claims it was Dreyer's, but he was from Massachusetts, Breyer's.
That's right.
Start rubbing it in your gums.
Yeah. Neapolitan? I don't think so. All right, let's bring it home, Gina Grad.
You got it. I'm Gina Grad, and that's the news. Gina
Grad! That was the news with Gina Grad.
All right, Bjorn Lomborg is waiting for us on the other line. I will bid adieu to Bald and Gina. We'll take a quick break and be back with the president of the Copenhagen Consensus Center, who's got a new book out, and we'll talk to Bjorn right after this.